All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll begin with prayer. You know, it's a blessing to have a prayer is a privilege.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. I thank you for all of your guidance and your teaching, oh Lord. Bless us. Bless every teacher this morning and pastor to say all that's in your heart.
Yes.
Help us to grow forward, grow in you and go forward in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. Last week we made it to verse 24 in St. John chapter 15. In these communion classes, Jesus is on his way to Gethsemane.
All right.
And he's teaching his disciples what they'll need to know for the church age. And he was totally honest with them. He told them exactly how it would be. And he's explaining things that they'll need to know. He said, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also."
Mm-hmm.
There are those who hate the will of God.
Amen.
Verse 24, he said, "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father."
Oh, elaborate on that some. That's powerful.
They saw.
They would have had an excuse.
They saw the works of God.
Yes.
According to the Word of God,
uh-huh.
Even the Old Testament word, and even the prophesied scriptures of the Old Testament. Isaiah talked about healing, and in all forms.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about salvation in all forms.
Mm-hmm.
Moses also. They saw miracles. He displayed the life of God. Everywhere he went,
mm-hmm.
and he did it openly,
mm-hmm.
and they hated him for it. And the last week I said something, it had me thinking all week long.
Mm-hmm.
In class last week, well, the Lord had dealt with me a while back about the way people focus under certain conditions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a man of that looks to people, he gets in fear. A man of pride, he looks within. He's focused on being better than others.
Right.
But faith looks to God.
Amen.
So
last week,
I said, "Lord, what?" He taught me the difference between faith and trust. I said, "What about trust? What does trust look to?" He said, "Trust sees God." And while Brother Horton was teaching, I was over there, I said, "Well, what about vision?" And he said, "Vision is God." And I said, and I thought about that this all week. But Jesus said, "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father." Our lives, as we obey God, it's vision to others. They see the example of God. And the Lord said, vision is God. That's his word in action. He can't be separated from his word, and neither can he be separated from the actions of his word. So when we do his word, people have a chance to see God in his unadulterated form.
You're going to epistle, like the Bible says.
And they have
epistle,
no excuse.
Like the Bible says.
Yes, mm-hmm. A living epistle. You're living with his life.
Mm.
You're loving with his love.
Oh, that is so rich.
You
why?
What did he say, vision?
Vision.
Is God?
He said vision is God. Just like when Jesus laid hands on the sick and they recovered, when he healed their eyes, did creative miracles,
mm-hmm.
That's God in action. And you can't get a better display unless God come down here and do it himself.
Imagination is very important in that vision.
Yeah. So.
Laying hands on somebody, you see them well.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
On our side, we see them heal.
Mm-hmm.
Then other people watching, they see them heal too. It's the same on both ends. So vision is God. That's a representation of
it.
And so now they saw God in action, fulfilling the word of God. They saw the word in this fulfilled state. and they hated it because pride looks within. They couldn't do it, and they hated Jesus because he did it. And the Lord is explaining, they're going to hate you too. So when you live the life of God, humble people are going to be glad about it. You're going to be a hero to them. And proud men are going to hate you for it. And we're spirit beings. We can feel it. We can tell. We can sense people's...
The reason why they're proud, though, is because they're afraid they're going to lose something.
Yeah.
See, fear is the enemy of faith.
Yeah.
And fear is always about losing something.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is. And every time you're afraid of anything, it's because you're going to lose something.
Yeah, and fear... Just like you said, fear is faith for losing something.
Yes, it is.
You believe it. You believe that you're going to lose something. And you know, they believed that they were going to lose recognition because they couldn't do what Jesus did.
Because they blew the trumpets to let everybody know that they were tithing.
Yeah. That's messed up. But and a lot of people thought it was normal. But when Jesus, the life that Jesus taught, on the Sermon on the Mount, he taught you to put others first, serve other people. And the Pharisees were teaching people to be served. And if you have anything worth doing, a business or anything, if you don't serve, it's not going to be a good business. If a ministry doesn't serve, it's not going to be a good ministry. That's why the Lord chose the things that he's wise. He chose what works. And when I asked him how could a man prosper beyond all avenues, he said to be a servant.
You know, I heard, I think it was Keith Moore in one of his sermons, press upon the high calling, press towards the mark of high calling God. He said that high calling is a servant.
Yeah, it is. And that's what, when you serve, intending to give, and you even have faith so that whatever you're doing will work, and you're doing it in a servant's attitude,
yes,
it's going to prosper because that's the heart of God. Just like when Jesus washed their feet, he loved them so much that he being a king, he washed their feet. And the Pharisees never washed a person's foot.
They expected you to wash.
They probably had somebody to wash their children's feet.
Yeah, but you know, it's not serving a man. Man gets the results of it, but we're servants of Christ.
Yeah.
And everything we do as unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And men get the result of it, but sometimes if it don't look like it, you might be serving somebody, but it don't look like it to them. Mm-hmm. But you're still a servant of Christ. When you're witnessing somebody, for example, you're being a servant of Christ. He's being a servant of Christ. The ones that kind of reject it, they might not see it there at that time. So it don't have to be something you expect to see automatic.
Uh-huh.
But you're a servant because you witnessed it.
Yeah. When you love people regardless.
Yes, regardless. You don't have to see the result.
Yeah. They get the representation.
You know, a lot of times you think of being a servant is washing somebody's feet, either cleaning somebody's house or waiting on them, which is part of it. But witnessing is one of the greatest services servants there is, or us witnessing.
Yeah.
And being a good father and a good dad, I mean, what else could be higher than that?
Yeah, that's true.
It teaches the next generation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
but this, what she's talking about, not seeing the results, there was this one man, he was, he's passed away now. Mm-hmm. But he was down in South America, one of those countries, I cannot remember, but he lived next to a U.S. military base down in South America. And he, for many years, you know, all the servicemen had come in and out and everything. He'd stand outside this bar and witness to all the men going in and coming out.
Yeah.
I'm talking all the time.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And he was literally on his deathbed, and, you know, he was talking to the Lord, you know, Lord, did I make a difference? You know, did I really make a difference in these men's lives? You know, all the people that I've witnessed to over the years. Did I don't see anybody, you know, get saved. I didn't see anything happen. Mm-hmm. Lord, did I make a difference? About that time, it's like the next day, I think, one of the U.S. military soldiers he had witnessed to like 20 years before came in. He found out where he was at because he became a missionary down there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Came in and told him, you know, you made a difference in my life. I really want to appreciate you. If you, I'd have been on my way to hell.
Yeah.
And I always say, one plants, one waters, but it's God that gives it him.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not up to me. It's up to God.
Yeah. It's the Holy Ghost that does it all.
Right. It does it all. And that's God. And that's how they're all three in one. Right. So. Mm-hmm.
You know, with that, with what Ray just said, when we do the will of God, we can't let the proud represent humanity. Because everybody's not like the proud that want that reject God. So a lot of people are just like that soldier that became a missionary. And, you know, a lot of times the enemy will say, well, nobody wants to hear the message. Yeah. That's not true, because Jesus said, if they hear me, they'll hear you.
Amen.
And,
how many people, even natural people, are going to reject what God has to offer? There's some that's so hard-hearted that they won't open up. Mm-hmm. How many? I mean, you know, God, the gospel's the power, mm-hmm. not the crying. Or, you mm-hmm. know, you say, oh, well, they've done it for 30 years and they've been educated. Uh-uh. Mm-hmm. The Bible says it's the gospel of
the
God.
Gospel.
You get that gospel to them, they're going to get saved if they will choose to.
Yeah. And we may seem to be outnumbered, and we may even be outnumbered.
But we're not.
But one Christian is so powerful.
Amen.
That the world, you know, the Pharisees, they were frustrated with Jesus because they couldn't match him. They were nowhere close to matching him. And Jesus said, he that believe will do greater works than me.
Amen.
So when you're doing his will, especially his perfect will, you can't be matched. It doesn't matter how what they say, they may seem to win an argument, but the word of God goes deep in the heart. And I got a cousin. He used to witness to people. That's the one that reminds me of Ray a lot. One day I'm going to get him to come. But in high school, he got saved. And he witnessed to everybody he knew. And he said for the next 20 years, people coming back saying, man, what you said, really, I didn't understand it back then, but I got saved and they appreciated it. And your works, God can, he can use you mightily, you know, and it almost never looks like it, but it works. You know, everything of God, it multiplies.
I think about Billy Graham's pastor, his small church.
Yeah.
I'm sure he thought, Lord, sometimes, why don't I have a big congregation? Why don't I have it? He was put there for Billy Graham.
Yeah.
If that was the only one, what he impacted.
Yeah. The wisdom of God.
And think about limiting your children, too, and I get in trouble with them, yes. Because I limited mine, too. But anyway, limiting children, like, you read in history, like, this famous man was the 14th child. This famous man was the 12th child.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But people say, you know, sometimes he has to go to somebody else to get that, I'm sure. God don't stop things. But
yeah.
It's like David was the last one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, that's right.
They didn't even want to bring him around because they didn't really like him.
Because he was kind of arrogant, in their opinion. He wasn't really.
When you minister to people that has ears to hear, they're going to do something with that gospel. They're going to use it.
Ray's blessed because he's had his children.
Oh, yeah.
Some people wouldn't think that, Ray, but most people do, Christians mm-hmm. do. Have blessed you.
They're very wise, too.
Yes, very wise.
And he's also creative.
Yeah.
He's always coming up with something. I guarantee you that's up right now.
It's going to be good.
We've all got gifts and talents.
Uh-huh. Okay,
I've never heard anybody speak like you. Mm-hmm. You're so unique, but it's God. And
yeah.
God's got so many facets. It's the first time I heard you, I was
Orla, brother.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Or David, Charles, everybody's got
Everybody got their own thing. And that's what I love about God.
Amen.
He know how to pull out of you what's necessary. And then the anointing that you have, the anointing that God has on you, as you minister to others, the people hearing you, your anointing becomes their normal. And I find myself, I may say something, and I'm like, Lord, how? And you know, I can't even see it.
You're unique, but at the same time, you're the whole body.
Yeah, it's just like when you say vision is God. I thought about that all. I couldn't come up with that, But when I studied it, I saw what he was saying. Well, when people hear you and receive what you're saying, that word becomes their normal. And it may not be normal to the anointed person yet. They have to go back and dig deep and research, and so it'll be normal for them. That's why every generation leaves a legacy of faith.
And as you do things as a servant, you see the manifestation of the Spirit. Yeah. And it might be the gifts, but you kind of concentrate on the gifts, you know. Mm-hmm. That's not the whole manifestation of the Spirit.
Yeah.
You're manifesting the Spirit by talking to us today.
Yeah.
You manifest the Spirit by witnessing somebody. It's just beyond it.
Yeah. In other words,
and we want to reach for it more.
The anointing has more vision in it than what the host of the anointing has. When people hear it, that becomes that normal, and you have to go back and say, well, Lord, and get with the Lord and learn it. Actually, sometimes I have learned things after God used me to say it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You have to, and you grow that way. That's why Paul said, "Lest I be a castaway." He was being used, but he had to grow in the Word so that he could partake of it. Okay. Yeah.
Good. We're running on time.
Yeah, I don't want to run over.
You'll be back
time? What is our exact times, by the way?
8:30.
8:45.
8:30 is the first seeker's class.
Mm-hmm. The communion class.
Communion class. Okay. But it's all called first seeker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
8:30 is the communion class. 8:45 is the other class.
First start.
First seekers.
Okay.
First start don't start to 9:30.
9:30.
Okay. 9:30. Yeah. That's our problem. We don't know our time.
Yeah.
I get mixed up.
We need a clock.
That's so funny. We don't know our time.
Yeah.
Okay. But I just went over the times with y'all. So next time y'all going to.
8:30, 8:45, 9:20, 9:30.
Yeah, every, 8:30 to
9:00.
And you just get here after. I like that.
Listen, no matter what happens, Holy Ghost is involved in it. I like it too, man, because everything we talk about is being said out there on the pulpit.
Yeah.
It's like it every time.
It's all one word.
This is just preparation to receive from the man of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's true. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Dear Lord, I thank you for your presence and the way you move in the classes, oh Lord. Lord, bless us to be the vision you need on earth.
Yes,
in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.